everyone, Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today, we're on What is the Real World? It's our second day with it. I loved how yesterday we got to hear the difference, but also then that follow-up between what is the world and what is the real world. That actually really helped me during the day.
How did it help you?
Because I know for me, I can get really caught up on just the world part, and it's nice to have that understanding or that reminder, really, that the real world is this everyday experience. Just like we were talking about yesterday, that even the divine is an ordinary experience for the average Joe, for everybody, really. But we sometimes leave the average Joe out. Well, the real world is very ordinary itself as well, because it happens in the here and now. It's not some special time. Like even we have, when we'll get through this, where, oh, it's the end of time, and we think, oh, the end of time, and there's meteors and floods and apocalypse, and it's just time no longer has a use anymore, because time is being used to remember who we are. And so when there's that end of time, and then it's just in the here and now, it's not past, it's not future, it just is in this moment, we actually can have that real world experience.
So let's get started for today. What is the real world? Do you believe we're on the eighth section?
I know, it just says, this has gone, not only are we on the eighth section, we're on lesson 292 today, episode 294, since we had our few intro ones, and it's just as like, oh my God, 294 episodes.
That's a It does seem like we've been doing this for a very long time.
Isn't that something? How, I mean, it's not like we haven't done A Course in Miracles daily before.
Right. But this is, doing it this way is completely different.
I'm way more focused on it though. And so it's been a wonderful experience for me. And so how about you start us off today?
Okay. What is the real world? The real world is a symbol, like the rest of what perception offers. Yet, it stands for what is opposite to what you made. Your world is seen through eyes of fear and brings the witnesses of terror to your mind. The real world cannot be perceived except through eyes forgiveness blesses. So they see a world where terror is impossible and witnesses to fear cannot be found.
The real world holds a counterpart for each unhappy thought reflected in your world, a sure correction for the sights of fear and sounds of battle that your world contains. The real world shows a world seen differently, through quiet eyes and with a mind at peace. Nothing but rest is here. There are no cries of pain and sorrow heard, for nothing here remains outside forgiveness, and the sights are gentle. Only happy sights and sounds can reach the mind that has forgiven itself.
What need has such a mind for thoughts of death, attack, and murder? What can it perceive surrounding it but safety, love, and joy? What is there it would choose to be condemned, and what is there that it would judge against? The world it sees arises from a mind at peace within itself. No danger lurks in anything it sees, for it is kind, and only kindness does it look upon.
The real world is the symbol that the dream of sin and guilt is over, and God's Son no longer sleeps. His waking eyes perceive the sure reflection of his Father's love, the certain promise that he is redeemed. The real world signifies the end of time, for this perception makes time purposeless.
The Holy Spirit has no need of time when it has served his purpose. Now he waits but that one instant more for God to take his final step, and time has disappeared, taking perception with it as it goes, and leaving but the truth to be itself. That instant is our goal, for it contains the memory of God, And as we look upon a world forgiven, it is He who calls to us and comes to take us home, reminding us of our identity, which our forgiveness has restored to us. What is the real world?
Lesson 292. A happy outcome to all things is sure. God's promises make no exceptions, and He guarantees that only joy can be the final outcome found for everything. Yet it is up to us when this is reached. How long we let an alien will appear to be opposing His. And while we think this will is real, we will not find the end He has appointed as the outcome of all problems we perceive, all trials we see, and every situation that we meet. Yet is the ending certain, for God's will is done in earth and heaven. We will seek and we will find according to His will, which guarantees that our will is done.
We thank You, Father, for Your guarantee of only happy outcomes in the end. Help us not interfere and so delay the happy endings You have promised us for every problem that we can perceive, for every trial we think we still must meet. Lesson 292, a happy outcome to all things is sure. I love lessons like this. And it seems like a lot of the course lessons that we've had, to me, some of them can be a little like heavy lifting in a way. You know, like
But do we have the luxury to say these are tough anymore?
Well, okay, no, we don't. But they but they have seemed like heavy lifting. And then when you get to a lesson like today, a happy outcome to all things is sure. Like God's promises make no exceptions, and He guarantees that only joy can be the final outcome found for everything. Yet it is up to us when this is reached, how long we let an alien will appear to be opposing His. So, you know, we always say what we're learning to do is to choose again, choose again, choose again. And that's that alien will. Like we have chosen fear, and then when we choose again, we can choose love.
Mm-hmm. And it's alien because it's in reality not natural to us.
But then, yes, exactly. Yes, yes. It's not natural. Although the fear seems to be the more natural, but yet it's not the natural. He always says, you know, this is really your natural state.
Right. Isn't that something though? Like we've confused and convinced ourselves as an ego thought system, as a sonship, that the fear is the reality and the love is the alien will.
And there seems to be a theme to the last to our last discussions, in that this really is simple. Only we've made it really very, very difficult and complicated, and oh my gosh, you know, how can I get rid of this fear state? And he's really saying, if we are like yesterday, I loved yesterday's lesson where this day my mind is quiet to receive the thoughts You offer. I accept what comes from You instead of from myself. I thought about that during the day.
Mm-hmm.
From myself, because when I seem to be by myself, I can get caught up in the fear thought loops. But then when I open myself up to love, I can bring, it seems like that quiet stillness comes.
Yeah, the other day I was doing some painting, just some touching up, and I had my headphones on and I was listening to, you know, all this, some different stuff that I was been wanting to listen to. And oh, I was having so much trouble concentrating because it's like, oh, I'd want to be listening to the class or course I'm taking. And then it's like, oh, this thought from the past comes up. It's like, then I'd have to keep telling myself, stop thinking about that. Not only would I then have to, you know, wipe my hands off because, you know, I kind of get a little, you get a little messy painting, and then go back in the lesson because that I really want to be concentrating on.
You
and
mean
listening.
Like you have to turn it on your phone or something?
Yeah. And then click on back and go back 30 seconds. Oh, did I hear that? Do I remember that? Oh, no, I got to go back a minute. And then it was like getting frustrating to me. It's like, oh, just stop. None of this stuff even matters. And it's like that's that alien will that I did to myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where from yesterday, I'm still stuck on yesterday's lesson, I guess. But and I accept what comes from you instead of from myself. I do not know the way to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very significant because we can talk to folks or read books or I don't know. There's a lot of people that say they know the way to peace, but then they don't really know the way to peace. Really, only love knows the way to love.
Right. And there, that's where we have to remind ourselves of lesson 189, our favorite lesson, which says, and I have a dog-eared here, God knows his son and knows the way to him. He does not need his son to show him how to find his way.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
And
even though I've tried to find my own way so much.
And even earlier in the lesson, is it not he who knows the way to you? You need not know the way to him. Your part is simply to allow all obstacles that you have interposed between the Son and God the Father to be quietly removed forever. Like, really, we don't know the way. Like, it's so funny how in A Course in Miracles, always you can synthesize it down to, we have no idea what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're just running around in circles trying to figure out, oh, is this the right way? Is this the right way? And it's like, we have to just sit down and admit we don't know that we don't know.
Yeah, and it seems like as human beings, we get caught up in like searching for someone else who knows, who can lead us there. And then if we do think we have found someone else who knows, who can lead us there, then we become so religious in the following. That
I was going to say enamored.
Yeah, but it's like more of like a ritualistic religion.
Dogmatic,
like, oh, then I have to do this, this, and this. And once you say I have to do this, this, and this, then you lost your way. Because then you're really concentrating on the this, this, and this. And you're not allowing the peace and the calm to come in. Why? Because if you don't do this, this, and this, you don't have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just tend to go around and around and around. And while we think this alien will is real, we will not find the end he has appointed to the outcome of all problems we perceive, all trials we see in every situation that we meet. Yet is the ending certain, for God's will is done in earth and heaven. Do you think it's interesting that it's the word in earth? It's not on earth?
You know what? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, and so it's like,
what's this the significance for you in that?
Well, because this is how I kind of translated in my mind then. Yet is the ending certain, for God's will is done in hell and heaven.
Wow.
I mean, that's what it really kind of, because it's not on earth, it's in earth. It's this, we're either coming from that fear state or we're coming from the love state. Mm.
And that really signifies that we're not detached from any of this.
Say more about that.
Well, to me, when you're bringing up this subtle nuance of on earth versus in earth, if I'm on earth, I'm just me and I'm floating through space on earth and that's it.
Kind of playing the game too.
Yeah. but I'm also separate from the earth too, and I'm separate from everyone else. But when you say in earth, it's more, I'm surrounded by that, all of what the earth contains, which is myself, the earth itself, you know, the stars and stuff, if you want to go beyond that, but even the other people and the plants and the animals, all of that is also part of me. What if I'm in earth rather than on it?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I want to go back just for a second too. And you said something, how we look outside ourselves for someone we think has the answer, and then we can get really religious and dogmatic if we really believe they do. Well, that's coming from this place of desperation. And if we go back to lesson 20, I am determined to see, in paragraph 2 of that, it says, you want salvation, you want happiness, you want peace. You do not have them now because your mind is totally undisciplined and you cannot distinguish between joy and sorrow, pleasure and pain, love and fear. And then, of course, it goes on, you are now learning how to tell them apart, and great indeed will be your reward. I love going back to that lesson in particular, because you want salvation, you want happiness, you want peace. That's what we are craving. And we have when we're trying to find it so desperately in our lives that we do seek outside ourselves to find someone we think who has what we have, what we need. Who has what we want, exactly. Yes, thank you for that. Because we were watching this documentary about Bill Wilson, Bill W. It's on, at least it was on Amazon when we were watching it. Amazon Prime.
And just for those that don't know Bill Wilson, he's the founder of AA.
Right, thank you. And he had, honestly, a miracle experience.
He did, yeah.
He did, oh my God, listening to that story and finding out about his life and stuff, like, OMG, that was an honest-to-God miracle that changed his perception from error to truth.
Well, and that's why his goal was a complete transformation of self. Like, he got it.
He did, and then he spent like the rest of his life trying to translate his miracle to other people. And then to create the step-by-step, you know, program to have that same miracle. But really, the miracle comes in our own way. Like, he got the miracle for him. And then, of course, we want to go out and take that and do good. That's part of A Course in Miracles, actually.
Yes, but because when Bill got that miracle, he had the total transformation of self. And then it's just like, that's why I think we have so many lessons of doing our part for God's plan for salvation.
It's right.
To go and to share that.
Right. And then to take that and say, well, not everyone's miracle is going to look the same.
But every miracle will have those same elements to it.
Exactly. And so when we're when to look outside of ourselves, it's always to look within.
Yeah.
And it's always to look within. And honest to God, that's what Bill Wilson was trying to share with people. You have to give up what you think you know, even what you think you know about yourself, and look within.
Yeah. And what I love about that, I mean, I haven't been a member of AA, but I have studied it quite a bit, is that he really knew you can't do this without the Holy Spirit.
No, you can't.
You know, what does he say? A higher power that speaks to you. I forget the exact verbiage of that. But he knew that you couldn't have a complete and total transformation of self without inviting love in.
Yes.
Without, you know, using coarse words, without accessing the Holy Spirit thought system. I think that's what's so beautiful about even, you know, movies like that we're watching. I think it's just called Bill W., right?
Right.
That it really shows that love comes in to all of us in our own way, you know, speaks to us in the way we need, and it's always there.
Yeah. Like it's, he really turned it over.
He did turn it over.
And then the miracle happened. So
I have something to say, but I'll wait for tomorrow because we're out of time.
Okay.
And what I wanted to bring up was when you read in lesson 20 about discipline.
Okay.
So maybe we could start there tomorrow.
All right. I will remind us.
Okay. So have a wonderful day as you practice and study lesson 292. A happy outcome to all things is sure. See you tomorrow.
See you then.